5:03 p.m. Pacific City Joint Water Sanitary Authority Board of Directors Business Meeting will come to orders July 14th, 2026. It is 5:03. We're meeting at the Kiawanda Community Center, Faye Jensen Room in Pacific City, Oregon, virtually and in person. I will read item 2, which is the rules of conduct. All cell phones, pagers, and other mobile communication devices must be turned off or silenced for the duration of the meeting. All persons in attendance will remain quiet during the course of the meeting unless called upon to comment. Refrain from any behavior that disturbs, disrupts, or otherwise impedes the orderly conduct of the meeting, to include shouting, booing, hissing, etc. Refrain from creating, provoking, or participating in any type of disturbance involving unwelcome physical contact. Be asked to leave the room to conduct side discussions and refrain from any speech of a political nature. So we'll call the roll. Director Shoemaker?
Present.
Director Doyle?
Here.
Director Anderson?
Here.
I'm Director Donahue, the chair. Director Strofska is absent. Next item of business is the minutes for the June 9th, 2026 budget hearing. Are there any additions or corrections? If not, I entertain a motion.
I move that we approve the budget hearing minutes of June 9th, 2026.
Second.
I can second that.
You can second that.
I can second that.
Okay. Max seconded this. Okay. All those in favor for approving the June 9th, 2026 budget hearing meeting, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any of those who opposed? Motion carried. The minutes of the June 9th, 2026 business meeting. Are there any corrections or additions or subtractions? Hearing none, I entertain a motion.
I move that we approve the June 9th business meeting minutes.
Okay, go ahead.
We have a motion and a second to approve the June 9, 2026 business meeting minutes. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Opposed? Motion carried. All right. The budget adoption meeting, the minutes for the June 23rd, 2026 budget adoption meeting minutes. Are there any additions or corrections? Hearing none, I'd entertain a motion.
I move that we approve the June 23rd, 2026 budget adoption meeting minutes.
Second.
A motion and a second to approve the June 23rd, 2026 budget adoption meeting minutes. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Opposed? And we have one abstention. Motion carried. The financial report for the accounts payable, item A, for June 15th and June 30th of 2026. Are there any questions or comments?
I have questions, but I'm wondering if Rochelle can even comment.
Okay.
Otherwise, we might just have to wait until...
Let's ask her if she can hear us.
Just a second.
Finger 19.
This here is a rubber duck.
All right. Rochelle, can you hear us? I don't see a microphone here.
John may be able to answer. Deccan Arm for $8,907, that was a short-lived asset. Materials and supplies. And I'm wondering what Deccan Arm is.
Decant Arm. No, that's right. The decant arm is the apparatus in our sequencing batch reactors that drops down into the water when we are in the decant cycle of the treatment process, which means it's bubbled in there and it's gone through its sequence. And at the end of the sequence, we lower that decant arm to take all the supernatant, which is a fancy word for the fluid on the top, and we decant that, and then that's what we send to our disc filters and our UV system before the water is discharged into the river. So it is the mechanical device that allows us to grab that top water to pull it out of the SVR to send it into further treatment and eventually into the river.
And that failed, that system failed or something?
Yeah, we've actually had, we had a decant arm fail on us a few years ago. So this is, I believe this is the decant arm on the other sequencing batch reactor. We have two of them that operate side by side in their own individual tanks. And the other one had gone bad. We needed to replace it.
Okay, so short-term assets, because it fails pretty regularly.
You know, that's a term that I may need Rochelle's help on, because I think in this case, it's part of the new treatment plant instead of the old treatment plant, so it's accounted for differently.
I just had a note from Jeb that he said all of a sudden the audio stopped.
Well, and that could be my fault, because I had a message that said I was using an old version of Teams, wondering if that's part of my problem. I just downloaded a new version. So,
according to mine, it said this person doesn't have a Teams account. We can't verify their identity.
For who?
Jeff.
Oh, well, I mean, I sent him an invite, so that should be good enough. Let me see what I'm working with here.
Well, this update changed everything, so.
Let me just open this back up, rejoin.
Oh, now we have, there's John. Oh, you're now on board.
Okay. Jeb or Rochelle, can you hear us now?
Finally.
Oh, all right. I apologize. Yeah. The system just isn't working as smoothly for me as it was a year or two ago. Yeah. So, Rochelle, the short-term asset designation on that decant arm purchase we made, what is the term short-term asset? I mean, how do we define that, and why is it classified that way?
The
short-lived
asset.
Yeah, short-lived.
Short-lived.
It was a requirement from USDA for our loan that we put into that account to repair and maintain parts of the new wastewater treatment plant for the foreseeable future. So we're required to put $99,000, I'll double check on that, just barely less than $100,000 per year, and that money is supposed to build on top of each other if we do not spend the full $99,000 each year.
Okay. Sounds good.
Look at this. Now the camera's working, but it's not up there.
I have another question, Rochelle. On page 3 of the expenses, the Prothman expenses were $2,750 for 104 and 105, 310, 220. And I'm just wondering why. Okay, so. Why would that? Wouldn't that be an outside service account versus miscellaneous? I don't understand.
We don't necessarily have. I mean, it could go under professional services, I suppose.
Just
when we used them the time before, we put it into miscellaneous.
Oh.
Rather than it being a capital expense. It's more, I mean, it's a hiring.
Well, I guess the comment is it kind of used up that account. There wasn't a lot of money.
Yes, it does.
Yeah, it's pretty much burned up.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we now we're into a new fiscal year. We have budgeted more money into that account for this particular reason.
Okay. Let's see, page 5 of the expenses, the Cherry City Electric bill. John, is that it now for electrical work on the generator sheds? It was like 14 grand.
Yeah, well, that's I think that would be the end of the electrical work for that project. I have to be a little careful in that we've done a couple of hired electrical contractors a couple of times, including putting new lights in our Connex box. But if it just came through AP this month, that would be
yeah, I think the note,
final
I think
billing.
The note said generator.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. The rest of it, I think I can just wait and talk to Rochelle in the office.
Okay. Are there any other comments or questions? Max?
No. We run out.
Gwen?
No. I have a couple of notes, but I think we covered them.
Okay. If that's the case, then I would entertain a motion about the accounts payable for June 15th and June 30th.
Okay, I move that we accept the accounts payable for June 15th and June 30th, 2026, as presented.
I'll second.
We have a motion and a second to accept the accounts payable, approved accounts payable for June 15th and June 30th, 2026. Are all those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Opposed? Motion carried. Under the general ledger for fiscal year 25-26, are there any comments or questions? How are we doing end of year, start of new year? John?
I think we're doing pretty good. Are we on the fiscal year
yeah.
part of it? Yeah, I think we're doing pretty good. Rochelle, this marks the last accounting for the fiscal year 2020 or 25-26, what we've got in the board packet this month, right?
No. We'll have one more month because we still have bills coming in from June.
Right.
Okay. Yeah.
All righty. But no other questions. We'll move on to item 6, the manager's report. John?
Thank you, Tom. Go through my list here. System development charges, we've talked about anticipating some more coming through. We're hoping more would come through in the last couple of months of the year. No more came through, so that's how we finished. We finished with 6 water and 4 sewer, which is where we've been at for, I think, 3 to 4 months now. That'll impact our revenue projections. But, you know, you just give it your best guess and you don't guess as well as you'd like to. But no new SDCs prior to the end of the fiscal year. The unaccounted for water, it actually has gone up a little bit this month. We're up to almost $1.4 million. Now, if the problem is the water meter, and we've talked about replacing the production meter out at Horn Creek, you know, for example, if that meter's overreading by 5%, when production is higher, that 5% is going to mean more water, right? So in my mind, this is almost, it's not conclusive, but it supports my hunch that our production meter at Horn Creek is not accurate. The only thing I'm nervous about in that regard is usually when meters get old and they begin to wear out, they underread, they don't overread, and that's what Horn Creek would have to be doing for that meter to be contributing to the problem. But we've, you know, we've essentially only got three choices. We're either, this water is leaking out of our system, our production meters are overreading, or collectively our consumption meters are underreading, and there really is no other possibilities. Well, I guess there's a possibility that, you know, water theft or somebody stealing water from us, but not this
not
consistently,
much, yeah.
not this much water.
Not that much, yeah.
So the replacement meter at Horn Creek is on the way. It's probably time to think about swapping out that meter anyway. It's such an important meter. And we will be installing a magnetic flow meter, which has a far higher degree of accuracy and lower maintenance or operating issues than mechanical meters do. It's on the way. We'll get it installed. We probably got to let it run for a month to get a good feel. I'm hopeful we'll see some improvement. I guess if we don't really see the improvement we're hoping for, one thing that can give us a little bit of comfort is the fact that we just eliminated a big variable in the situation, right? So,
and you mentioned that it would probably is a good idea to replace that anyway.
It really is. And the good news is that being a mag meter, the accuracy will be higher just out of the box. And since there's no internal parts in the flow stream in a mag meter, it does all its magic by sending out magnetic signals that bounce through the water and come back up to the receiver, and the meter's smart enough to convert that to an accurate flow reading. But since there's no moving parts, nothing in the flow stream, there's nothing to corrode, there's nothing to mechanically to go wrong or to break down or to get old or tired. So, meters like this typically last for decades. And so, and with the benefit of a higher degree of accuracy too. So we'll see what that brings. We have a water leak we discovered today on a service line to a customer's home, but the customer just reported it, and it's a pretty obvious leak, you know. So we do have leaks pop up, but we have not found any leaks in our system other than those being reported to us that occur rather suddenly. And
well,
so
caused that number of gallons too. I mean, that's a lot.
That's a lot of water. That really is a lot of water. So, we'll see how this new meter does. Like I say, we're going to need a little runtime on it to really get a sense for what the result is or what the improvement might be. The 600K reservoir radio tower. For the second month, at least on the manager's report, I don't have anything to update because I haven't been contacted by the county or their project manager on this radio tower site. However, I did get an update from them via email yesterday, and I will say it's a little disappointing. As you all know, we had a legitimate proposal from the South Tolima County Emergency Volunteer Corps that was followed a short time later, even before we could vote on approving the proposal or not. That was followed up a short time later by Tolima County wanting to install a tower at the same location. I've met with Tolima County up there. We've coordinated with the Volunteer Corps so that we could accomplish both things at one time, and we can collaborate on it and, you know, maybe have some cost sharing of some of the stuff, and it really looked like this was going to be a good deal. Tolima County wanted to bring power up to the site, which we would have benefited from. They have committed to me, both verbally and in writing, no less than 5 or 6 times that this is the site they want. They've decided this is the location they want their tower to be, and they were going to put together a written proposal for us. Well, That was, the last I heard from him was over 2 months ago. I finally reached out to him, and I'm rather disappointed to report that the county has suddenly backed out of our location. Apparently, they had a late arriving proposal from Motorola, and their proposal doesn't require development at our site. So after all this coordination and after all this time and effort, inconveniencing the volunteer corps, the county has backed out of it. So just real disappointing that we've gone this far and we've put people off for this long to have them back out of a commitment that they've made to us numerous times over the last 4 or 5 months. But it is what it is. So I plan to re-engage with Tillamook County Volunteer Corps. And we'll go ahead and, you know, hopefully they haven't spent the money they had earmarked for this on something else. But we'll re-engage with them, and we will get them back in front of the board, get their proposal back in front of the board, so that we can the board can, you know, vote on that and so forth. But
so is it a different site, Motorola site, or?
I think it had something to do with I read somewhere, I think it was The Sun.
The Sun has an article.
An article about the last, at the last election, there was a vote that was passed on emergency communication devices and all that, you know, upgrade the county's communication. And that was all probably part of what we were doing also.
That I think that was exactly
and,
what it was.
Evidently, Motorola made decided to cover some of the costs. I'm not exactly sure all of
them. I think they were one of the bidders.
Yeah.
I think
yeah.
They made a new proposal, two primary bidders.
And I don't know why Tillamook County accepted it. Like, there must have been something that happened, and Motorola re-proposed differently.
Well, and I can tell you that, you know, their focus was South County, wanting to improve their communication South County. And one of their proposals, one of their bidders, with their technology package, our site would have worked perfect for it. But with Motorola's proposal, and Motorola could have some other towers that can reach this far just with different, with the installation of a different system, they don't have to develop the site using Motorola's equipment or their proposal. They don't need to develop the site to reach the South County. Wherever this is going to go on, already will have the power or whatever to reach the South County. My guess is there's already a tower in place, and they're just going to put a new dish on it or something. But, you know, apparently my understanding is that they were waiting on Motorola's proposal all along, and it was slow to come in. And I don't know if they thought they weren't going to bid on it or what, but I don't understand why they would commit to our site so vehemently if they still had a proposal that was going to come in.
I don't quite understand that either.
But, you know, it is what it is. So I just wanted to give the board an update about that. But we'll get... I think we'll go back to square one and re-engage with the volunteer corps and move forward with their proposal that they had already submitted and they were ready to move forward on. So I'll re-engage with them and get that back in front of the board. So just a quick note about Dory Days. We are planning to participate in the Dory Days parade. How many vehicles that we have in the parade will depend on employee availability and interest. I know that we've got enough employees interested to do at least one vehicle, which would probably be our new crane truck. That's impressive, and it represents what we do quite well. If we can get some more people interested, you know, we can, you know, maybe, you know, get the dump truck out or some other things. I was thinking I'd like to pull the Vactor through the parade, yeah. But Leonard being Leonard, he's like, well, what if we have a water leak and it's an emergency and we can't get the Vactor to on site?
Yeah.
You know, and you know, I mean, he's thinking, right?
Yeah, he's thinking, isn't he?
You know, he's thinking. And so he would like to not bring the Vactor just in case, you know, the...
It would be tough getting it out of the parade.
It would be tough. You know, and whether it's staged waiting for the parade to start or in the parade or whatever. And Leonard's worried about having that unavailable in the event that we have a water leak. And I get that. And that's Leonard being a good operations supervisor. Of course, you know, older than 4 years ago, we never had a Vactor trailer to begin with, right? And the guys love it because, you know, we don't have to dig any holes by hand anymore and all that type of stuff. I mean, it just makes the job so much easier and so much safer, too, for that matter. You know, unless he changes his mind, he's probably got a good point. So, but we will represent. We'll just have to see how many employees are there to represent the authority, but we will participate in the parade with one or more of our vehicles. The authority manager review process, just a quick note on that. I'll have my self-assessment to Tom by the end of the week. And Tom will disseminate that to the rest of you. And that gives you all 3+ weeks to put your individual performance comments about my review. So I think we've got time. I think we're on schedule. As we know, we had planned to have the executive session this month or this meeting, but since Kathy couldn't be here, we decided to postpone the executive session until the August meeting. And a very quick look. So that would be August 11th. So, yeah, we're looking at maybe 3.5 weeks for you guys to turn it around on your side of things. So I talked to moving down to maintenance and repair. I talked about the submersible pump discharge lines at some of our lift stations being in advanced state of deterioration. There's about, when we initially started this, I think there were 6 of these sites that we felt like we had to do work on so that we didn't have some kind of catastrophic failure. And last year we did Kiwanda. 2 months ago, we did Straub, and last month, we did Roger lift station.
I'd like to point out that Jason Stewart just joined us online. It's 5:31.
So last month, I reported that we got the work done at Straub. This month, I'm reporting that we've got the work done at Roger. The next lift station that we will turn our attention to with a similar effort will be the Ella lift station, with I believe 2 more to go after that. You know, we've recently gone through and upgraded the lift stations with new pump control panels, new pumps, new control systems. This is kind of on the other side of the things at the lift stations, the discharge lines, including the check valves and isolation valves. Check valves, almost all of them are in a failed condition. And the isolation valves, many of them are as well. So I'm pleased to report that we got another one of those lift stations done with that work last month. Moving on to employee issues. And, you know, I'm starting to definitely have deja vu here. For the 4th month in a row, not the 2nd or the 3rd, like I've been reporting the last couple, for the 4th month in a row, Jeb Pippinger successfully passed a certification test. 4 and 4 months. And I've been in this business for 35 years, and I've never seen anybody get that many certifications in such a short time. I mean, these typically take a fair amount of study in between. Every test is kind of a different discipline. This time, he passed a water treatment level 2. I think last time was a water distribution level 2. The time before was wastewater treatment level 2. And, you know, probably the good news for Jeb in his mind is he's pretty much topped out now until he gets more experience. Mm-hmm. I mean, you know, and I know Jeb won't mind me mentioning this, but Jeb worked here for like 6 or 7 years before we convinced him to go after this. And now he has gone after it in a big way. He is now level 2s across the board. That's 8 different certification tests that he's taken. Realistically, with the size of our facility, he can get more than that. He can't get level 4s in some of the disciplines because our system is just not big enough. You have to have experience at those big systems to qualify for those really high level 4 exams. But with a little more experience, a little more time under his belt in terms of tenure, he'll be able to go after a couple more at least. So. But I think he's planning to take a break at this point, and a well-deserved break, but just couldn't be prouder of him.
It's amazing.
I mean, he's really embraced it, yeah. And I think he's beginning to realize what, you know, that this is a good career field of work. And I think he'll make this his career. That's just my guess. Of course, it's up to him, but he's certainly getting the accolades that that indicate that this is the type of work he's going to stick with for life, and I hope it is.
I think I speak for the board in saying that, Jeb, we're also very proud of you. Congratulations.
Congratulations, yeah.
Congratulations.
Great job. Yeah, just truly outstanding. One more employee issue. We've had a good response to our advertisement for a vacant operator position. We're still in the mode of interviewing people. We've got 3 to 6 more interviews to do. But I think we've already come across somebody that we think would be a good fit.
Good.
If, you know, regardless of what the other interviews yield. You know, really good response to our recruiting efforts this time. There have been times in the past where we've advertised for months just to get one. And we've got several dozen.
Wow.
So
that's amazing.
So yeah, we've got a good candidate pool to go through.
Good.
So Tom, that's it from my manager's report.
All right.
Do you have a time set to get somebody hired, or?
We'd like to make an offer realistically the week after next. I think by the time we get everybody we want interviewed. We're probably going to be into mid next week before that's done. Probably 1st of August is, I think, that we'll be certainly be ready to make an offer by then.
Outstanding. Okay, let's move on to unfinished business. The authority manager position profile. John is go ahead and give us an update on that.
So, after the last board meeting, you know, I had submitted a revised version of the profile that was in place, you know, from when I was hired for the position 5 years ago. And I made some edits, brought it to the board, got some suggestions from the board. I went back and made some more revisions. I sent those revisions to Propman. Kaufman, then combine my revisions with the results of the interviews that they did to each of the board members, because they wanted to incorporate any suggestions or any thoughts the board had into this. And so they did that. One thing to be aware of, that by the time that was all done, this thing was 8 pages long, and Proffman feels strongly that this profile needs to be 6 pages. It shouldn't be any more than 6 pages, because they think that candidates will get bored with it before they get to the end. So Proffman did some wordsmithing. I believe that they were true to the results of the interviews with the directors. They kept most of my edits in there, but they did trim it down to 6 pages, and that includes adding all these pictures. And these are all new pictures. These aren't a reissue of the pictures that were used 5 years ago. And I think the pictures are really, really good. So the question is because we do have to get we do have to get this thing advertised. We do have to start moving this process along. Proffman, knowing I was going to meet with the board today, they asked, well, if the board's okay with it as is, if they could approve it as is, that's great. If the board has any last-minute edit suggestions, we'll take note of that, and I will make that last revision. But if the board wants to see some additional edits, they have requested that the board still approve it as revised, anticipating that I will make those final edits before I send it to Proffman. But we need to get this thing out there so that we can start the advertising for this. Now, one thing, too, that I mentioned is the salary range, mm-hmm. right? The salary range when I, that was on the position profile 5 years ago was $85,000 to $125,000. Well, looking at that, I suggested to the board, well, let's make that $100,000 to $135,000, just thinking 5 years, you know, inflation, things are going up. But Proffman suggested that, and I guess in hindsight it makes sense to me, that what you advertise in the position profile, even if the board doesn't intend to hire anybody at the top, it should match what our internal salary range for this position is after and this is the results after that wage survey we did like a year and a half ago. The salary range for that position that was adopted by the board after our wage surveys was $115,000 to $150,000. And of course Proffman's advice is that the board should offer as much as we can afford, because that only ensures we get more and more qualified people that applies for it. But this is an important part of the profile, and we need the board to decide, and this is probably really the last piece of information on the profile that we have to nail down, that there might be some differing opinions about. We've got to come to a consensus on what that salary range is going to be that we use to advertise on this position profile.
I tend to agree that the suggestion of going to 115 to 150 is appropriate. I would even consider going 120 to 150. What's your feeling, Max?
I think that 115 to 150 is a really good starting point, but if you think 120 is going to weed out a few people and probably possibly get some higher educated people in that would come after this position, I agree with you.
How about it, Dan? For example, you have some background in you know, fire department. Salary ranges for like the fire department, are those public knowledge also?
I would think so, yes.
Now, our current chief there has a pretty, has a long tenure with us.
Yeah, and I don't really know what the wages are there, but I mean, $5,000 in a base isn't going to change anything financially for us if we get somebody that qualifies at that range. The higher end of the range, you know, that's more of a stretch for the district.
Luann, you have a comment?
You know, I think if we make it, if we indicate in the hiring package that, you know, you're going to be hired depending, your salary is going to be based on your qualifications, then I think it's okay to say 115 to 150. If we say that you're starting at 115, you know, without any consideration of giving more, then no, we should start at least 120.
And I will say, yeah, I will say the beauty about this range is the board decides where in that range you make the offer,
exactly,
depending on the qualifications of the person that you're,
right,
you're wooing, right?
Right.
I don't know if it makes any difference to anybody, but just anecdotally, the salary range when I came on was 85 to 125. Mm-hmm. I was hired at 125. But that doesn't mean that
I know
we go straight to the top, right?
Right.
It's nice to have a range so that, you know, you can kind of decide, you know,
right,
what,
right,
where in that range might make sense.
It's pretty much going to be based on applicant, too. You
know, mm-hmm.
We could get a rocket scientist that wants to come in here and run the show, and you might have to pay him 150.
Right.
It's possible.
You know, or we could get somebody who's just adequate for the position, and we're comfortable with them, and we just make them an offer and they accept.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
So, yeah, I mean, I'm okay with the 115 to 150. As long as, you know, it's made clear that, you know, that they're not necessarily going to have to start at the bottom.
Yeah.
But I think that's pretty clear in the, you know, the
way it's worded. I mean, usually, as you guys know how these things work, is
yeah,
you don't offer the bottom, you don't offer the top, but you
right,
go somewhere in between, right, typically, right?
Oh, definitely.
Tom, are you glued to the 120 to 150?
No.
Or
no.
It sounds like we're close to a consensus on the 115 to 150?
I think so.
Either way.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
I think 115 to 150.
Well, let's run with that. What are the board's thoughts? I assume you've all had time to review the profile. What are the board's thoughts about where we're at with it? Are we ready to approve it as is? Is there any last minute edits that the board would like to see?
The only thing that in reading it, you know, there's the section about necessary knowledge, skills, and abilities. And I looked, but I get accused of my wife of looking with my mouth versus my eyes. I, you know, OSHA and safety, I don't see anything in there that talk. It says state regulatory agencies, rules, regulations, permits, water quality standards. I just wonder if there's something that could be added for safety.
Like knowledgeable of applicable OSHA safety regulations?
Familiar, knowledgeable.
Or rules, regulations, including OSHA safety.
Yeah.
Including.
Okay. Okay.
Or in state, federal, environmental laws, rules, regulations, including safety. Well, we got environmental. State, federal, environmental laws, including state safety,
and still keep rolling.
No, that's an easy thing to do. And even, like I say, they'd like to keep it six pages. I notice we've still got room for a paragraph if we want. So
fairly,
if we want to just add another bullet or another couple of words, that's easy to do.
I just know the fire district's different, but we're getting a lot of pressure to be trained and whatnot.
Well, it's an important part of, you know, the manager of this utility needs to be well-versed in OSHA safety rules.
Well, we've created, well, I will say, not we, I'll say you, have created a safety culture here, like a corporate culture, that I've always been very, I admired you, your moxie getting this done, because safety is one of my you know, highest priorities as a board member. And so that corporate culture, that safety culture is something that we want to emphasize somewhere in there, because it's part of our corporate culture.
Got it.
Yeah, I think that'd be easy to add that in there somewhere.
Yep, I think so.
Okay.
What else you guys got? Anything else? I mean, the reality of it is we could tweak this forever, right?
Yeah, no, that's what I mean. I think we got it hammered out.
No, it does a great job of explaining what's available here local and within 30 minutes of here for healthcare and education. I like it.
Yeah, it spells out, you know, the job fairly well.
I think they've done a pretty good job of showing what the future, you know, what we can expect in the future, what the upcoming responsibilities. They mentioned the master plans.
Master plan.
And they emphasized the ability to, you know, go after grants and other funding sources. So I think they've done a pretty good job here overall.
Do you think the board might be ready to approve it with this safety added revision?
I'm ready.
I am too. I'm ready to.
Myself.
We need to get it out there. We need to get move it on.
Okay. If that's the case, is this?
We need a motion.
Is an action item. So let's go ahead and.
I don't know if we need one, but I'd like to have one.
Okay.
So I would entertain a motion then.
Okay, I move that we approve the job, what do we call it?
Position profile.
Position profile, thank you, that's what I was looking for, the authority manager as presented. So we can actively...
Could we say that we approve the position profile with the noted revision?
Yeah. Can we do that?
That's reasonable.
The position profile presented
with a
noted revision.
Right.
There we go.
Okay.
That's the motion.
That was really hard.
Okay, we have a motion to accept Proctman Authority Manager position profile with a small amendment as presented, and we have a second. Any further discussion? All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carried.
Thank you. What that allows me to do is to make the revision, send it off, and we don't need to make a revision and bring it back to the board for approval, right? I can make the noted revision,
right.
We can get it sent off, and they can run with it.
Yeah, we got time's wasted on that.
Okay, item 8, new business. Our parametrics professional services agreement. John, I have a question. This is a lengthy document. How does that compare to other documents as for scope of work and that sort of thing that we've done in the past?
Well, I can tell you that the proposed cost, and this is just the cost of the engineers' portion of the job. Their job is more than just design, though. They're going to create the bid documents. They're going to advertise the job. They are going to receive the bids. They will do a review of the bids to ensure that the bidder has submitted a bid that that aligns with all the bid requirements. Because if it doesn't align with the bid requirements, then we can't accept the proposal. And they will consult with us as we determine who to award the job to. They will be at the bid opening. They will be at the bid award. So they do virtually all the bid stuff. They do a lot of the project management when things are under construction. You know, they'll be... One of the first things that once a bid is awarded, before work even begins, the contractor has to turn in submittals. And what submittals are is this is what the contract wants to use for a particular brand of pipe. This is what the contractor wants to use for the brass parts like the cork stops. This is the materials, this is what the contractor would like to supply as a make and model of hydrant. And what happens is that the engineers review those submittals, make sure that they are consistent or equivalent to what the engineers expect. Then they approve the parts, and then the contractor begins to order all the parts and materials needed for the work. So the engineer's role in this is extensive from start to finish. It's not just getting on CAD and making some drawings for us. So that's the first point I want to make.
One thing, when you talk about a bid spec, the engineers, if somebody takes exception to material or something like that, then the engineers will evaluate
exactly
that exception and see if it meets the original spec.
If the engineer specs something and the contractor finds out that that particular item is on back order for 6 months, they will often counter with a comparable part, but then the engineer has to review all that for every single part that this exchange occurs with, to be sure that it is consistent or equivalent to the original part that was spec.
Did they do that for the Rupo project?
They did. They did.
I'm worried about timelines here. Would that process slow down things?
Well, not necessarily.
A system supply issue?
Well, one of the issues we ran into at the Rupo project is we quoted a particular part to use for a meter stop, and the contractor didn't like using those because they've had trouble with that particular type of fitting before, so they recommended something else. But back when we did Rupo, it was during COVID.
Yeah.
And supply chains were all messed up, and parts were slow and hard to come by. That's potentially one of the reasons why the job was delayed at Rupo. I don't think we'll run into that as often or as frequent as we did with the Rupo project, but there is the possibility that a needed part, they're just in high demand and short supply. So it is possible. I don't think it's likely because, like in Rupo, the part in question was what they called an IP part, which is iron pipe size. And instead of the iron pipe size, we got the CT size part, which is the copper tubing size part. We didn't use copper tubing. We used poly tubing, but it's just small differences and tolerances of the part. It's not a huge change. And so we sidestepped that availability issue by just going with a similar part that would work that wasn't in such small supply. And so these are decisions that can come up, and you have to kind of adjust to them on the fly, especially if you're trying to stick to a tight schedule for the job. That's always a possibility, but...
But the engineer would still be advised on...
Oh, absolutely. The engineer has to approve any change of...
Does the, who's running this project?
Well, it's going to be, I mean, it's going to be us, but it's also going to be our engineer. I mean, you know, we rely on contractors to do all our big construction jobs, all our heavy, really big construction jobs. I mean, we don't have enough people and really don't have the skill level to start digging trenches in the road and start laying 6 or 8 inch pipe. You know, that's just, we're good at a lot of things, but that's the type of thing that, especially systems our size, always contract out. What we're talking about here in this North Broughton project is well beyond our staff's ability, or time-wise or skill-wise to do, honestly. You need excavation companies, you need companies that are skilled in laying pipe in the ground. And although we can do it in short runs and in situations where we might have a water leak and we need to cut out a section of pipe and just replace that section, we're well equipped to do that. But for these big jobs, we got to contract them out. And I will say that looking at the cost of just Parametric's part in this, and this includes all the surveying work and everything they've already done is included in this price. I do want to point out it's a time and materials quote, which makes me feel good. I always prefer to go time and materials on these quotes whenever I can. In case they overestimate the cost, it's not a lump sum. We see those savings.
Right.
So, but you can see that the cost of this Parametric's role in this is north of $300,000, which is no small amount of money. By comparison, the engineering portion on Ripple was half that. But this job is much more complex, much more complicated, and this job has like 34 drawing sheets where Ripple was about 13. So...
Well, that's a major thoroughfare through there.
Yeah. And
well,
John,
the $306,570, mm-hmm. was there any idea what that, did we have an idea of what this was going to cost? Did we say, well, it's going to be twice as big as a Ripple?
Well, I mean, just the engineering phase of it, we didn't.
Okay.
And it actually took them this long to come to put the scope of work together and to quantify what their effort in this is going to be. And once they decide that, they always have it reviewed by 3 or 4 different high-level people. They always check the cost estimates. And this is what they came up to, and they think that this is going to be about what it is.
But that's just for the engineering.
That's just for the engineering and everything that they're going to do to assist with project and bid management and everything else. That does not cover the construction cost. That does not cover the paving cost. I will tell the board that when this job's all said and done, I believe the total cost will be north of $1 million. But, I mean, and the paving alone will be probably as a $250,000, I would guess. But, you know, this is a more complex project. I think it's, you know, whether I anticipated that the engineering would come in at this, I didn't, but it took the engineer 4 months to be able to determine what their cost was going to be on this. And and I will tell you that our best guess until we start getting bids is going to be, the next thing the engineers are going to put together is their engineered professional opinion cost of total job. And so the first indication of how much total job's going to be is also going to come from our engineers. And, you know, that takes a lot of things into account. But I will say that for Rupel, they came in, the engineer's probable cost of the job came in at $800,000. Once we started getting bids, the bid that we awarded for the job was only $450,000. So it's just the engineer's estimate of probable cost.
Right.
The real probable cost is we're going to know when we start getting bids.
Right.
And we're going to know when we see how much those bid amounts are for. To really get a handle on what the job will cost. But unlike Rupel, where we just patched, you know, because Rupel was, the road was mainly a mixture of rock and old concrete and asphalt anyway. This road is fully paved, and the county will expect it to look like it did before we started.
Oh, yeah, they'll have
it. And so that will add a significant amount of cost to the project, too.
So a question for bidders. I mean, the generator shed, for example, you couldn't get anybody to bid on that turnkey. This kind of project is pretty significant. I wonder whether the engineering firm has tentacles into the construction market that they can, you should bid this.
Well, that's illegal. You can't do that. All you can do is post it and give everybody the same fair chance to see the posting and decide the build on. I understand what you're talking about, and it is a concern. On Rupel, we only got two bidders.
Yeah.
And one of them we had to reject because they didn't comply with the bid instructions. And the other bidder was the one that we awarded the contract to. Since then, however, I'm aware of a couple of new excavation contractors that have come into the area. I believe there's one in Halem now, and I believe there's another one. I'm trying to think of where it is. Well, there's Advanced Excavation. I think they're at Garibaldi. There's one in the Halem now, and I think I'm aware of one other player that has moved to the area. So that just people that headquarter on the coast, we've now got three or four choices instead of one or two.
Yeah,
they're going to be able to afford a bond, though, right?
Well, they need a performance bond, yeah, for sure.
Could some of that have been because of where we were, too, with the 2020 and the COVID and all that? I mean, even who's got employees that they can...
It could be.
I don't know, maybe.
Well, you know, and it's not out of the question that somebody who headquarters in the valley, like in Salem, mm-hmm. or in Hillsborough,
right.
or something, would bid on the job and show their interest in the job. You know, they're challenged by the fact they have to bid for their travel and all that into
right.
their bid. But nonetheless, for a job this substantial, and Rupel was really a relatively small job, all things considered, but for a job this substantial, it would not surprise me if we get some interest from contractors in the valley or in the Portland area.
Maybe at least like Minnville area or, you know, halfway over.
Yeah. You know, a lot of it depends on how booked up or busy people are. We've got a construction window here we want to stick to, right?
Right.
So, you know, so that may have a bearing. You know, maybe people that want to bid on the job, but they just know that they don't have enough time with jobs they've already booked in order to meet our construction schedule or, you know, maybe other factors. But it is a substantial cost. I do want to say that normally for a cost like this, I mean, the procurement rules for government entities typically is, if it's over $25,000, you need three quotes, and this is well over $25,000. But with parametrics, There's one reason Parametrics has always done, has done our engineering work for us for 25 years, is that we always go sole source with this because of our long-standing relationship with Parametrics and because of how well they know our system. We are justified in claiming sole source on this job. And I wouldn't recommend doing it any other way. It took this long to get the quote from one engineering firm. Imagine what it would take to get similar quotes from three or four of them, right? We're going sole source on this, but it is a substantial amount of money. So I do want, I would ask the board to approve the cost like they normally would need to for a job this expensive, even though it's sole source. You know, it's a lot of money. I'd really like the board's approval.
So the 300K number still comes down to time and material, so it could go higher, correct?
It won't exceed it. I've been told it's not to an exceed price, but it could go lower. So if we were to make a motion, I would say not to exceed that amount.
Okay. I would entertain a motion.
Well, I make a motion that we accept the Parametrics Professional Service Agreement for the Broughton Road Water Main Project to not to exceed $306,570.47.
I'll second that.
We have a motion and a second to accept the Parametrics Professional Services Agreement not to exceed $306,000 and change. Is there any further discussion? Hearing none. We also have a second, correct?
Yes, I seconded it.
All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Opposed? Motion carried. Okay.
Thank you.
Next item up for bid. Wrong show. The Urson blower purchase is, what exactly are these blowers? They're in our main plant, correct?
Yeah, they're the wastewater treatment plant. One of the fundamental treatment principles to treat wastewater is you want to make sure it's aerated. You want to make sure it's got lots of oxygen in it, because how wastewater is treated, it's treated by aerobic digestion, meaning little microscopic organisms that need oxygen to metabolize the waste in the sewage. That's how you treat the water, is the bugs eat it. But you need to have a good amount of dissolved oxygen in the environment so that they can have that aerobic digestion going on as they do so. Now, so because of that, we've got blowers at several parts of our wastewater treatment plant. We've got blowers in our SVR chambers for the aeration step in the treatment. But we also have blowers in our flow equalization basin, which is the first basin after the headworks and it goes through the screens and the grit removal. It goes into our flow equalization basin and sits there until it's called to send some of that water into our SVRs. But while it's sitting there, we're even aerating it in that holding basin. And so we've already got blowers at the plant. The blowers in the SVR system are fairly new. The blowers for the flow equalization basin are very old. They were original equipment to the original treatment plant. This wasn't equipment that was put in when the plant was upgraded back in 2018 or wherever it was. This is original equipment. And these blowers are antiquated. They're causing maintenance issues. They're causing operational issues. And it is time for us to replace those blowers, and there's two of them, for the filter equalization basin. And so this is to, this cost is to order two blowers to replace those old antiquated ones. And like we usually try to do, we're wanting to standardize. These Airzen blowers that you see on the letterhead of the quote, these are the same brand of blowers that we have for our SBR system. So we'll be dealing with the same supplier, where we can order the same spare parts. The maintenance routine on them is all the same. They all operate the same way. So
they're going to install them also.
They're going to install them and make sure that's all part of the price. They're going to install, make sure that they're all calibrated and running the way they're supposed to. And this is for two of them. And this is an item that we budgeted for in our new fiscal year budget.
Yeah, it's budgeted.
Now this one, we're going sole source on this one because we're trying to standardize. Just like we did with all our flight pumps and all our lift stations and everything else, right? So we're going sole source with this. That's why I've only got one quote. But it is north of $25,000, so I need board approval to spend the money.
Question. You talked about budgeting for it. Where is this going to come out of? Is it going to come out of 004 or 005? Whatever the numbers are, SDCs, or where was that budgeted?
Well, that's going to be, I believe, the old plant category. And it, you know, if it's old plant or new plant, it comes out of a different pool of money. Rochelle, if you're still there, these Airzen blowers for the filter holding tank, which fund will those come out of?
Because it's wastewater, it comes out of 004. I can't remember the number exactly, but it's equipment. I think it's 360100. But it because it's a piece of equipment, it will come out of equipment.
Okay.
Are there any other questions? Okay, I would entertain a motion. Looks like our number is $96,022.
Yeah, and before we do that, I added that together real fast. These four numbers at the top, would somebody pull out their phone and make sure that's the total? Because I think it is.
Oh, on their bin?
On their bin.
Yeah, it's on the top of like page 2 or 3.
81, 86, 92... 99.
Let's see.
Can you see it?
I mean, I'd hate to have done the math wrong in weeks.
$96,022.
Is that what you come up with?
96,022.
Yeah.
Okay.
Total order value.
Okay, we got it right.
Okay.
Okay. Well, I'll make a motion that we approve the purchase of the two. Arson, I'm not sure how to say that, blowers for our flow equalization basin in an amount of $96,022.
Not to exceed 96.
Okay, not to exceed $96,022.
I'll second.
We have a motion and a second to purchase and have installed two Arson blowers for our wastewater treatment plant for not to exceed $96,022. And a second, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion carried. Okay. Item 8C. What do you?
Oh, you do have the, you did make a copy of the revised agenda.
Right.
Okay. Now, I don't know if the board wants to do this with Kathy gone, but every 2 years it's time to elect new officers, and believe it or not, it's already been 2 years according to Rochelle, and she keeps good track of that. So typically the officers are chair, the office vice chair, and secretary. Am I missing one? No?
That's it.
And, you know, of course, Tom has been the chair, Kathy's been the vice chair, and Luann, I believe you were secretary.
Yeah.
So the question is with one of our board members gone, you know, when people are gone at meetings, that's when I nominate them for everything.
I know.
But maybe that's bad form. So I would ask the board if they wanted to postpone this till the next meeting.
Well, let me make a comment first.
Sure.
I know that Tom, bless his heart, has done this for 2 years now, and he sticks pretty close to home. Kathleen, Lee, and Luann, and a lot Max, the vice chair I can see as being more involved in this next tenure of officers, because I would say that, you know, I want to nominate Kathleen, but she's not here. So we probably have to say we need to postpone it.
I think we should postpone it.
Okay.
I mean, especially if we're talking about re-nominating her, if you will.
I guess technically the nomination should be accepted as well, not just nominated.
Right? Well, yeah, and that's what I'm saying is there's three people that aren't here all the time.
Right.
And Max, I don't know you well enough to know whether you're going to Mazatlan.
Well, I can tell you, Max has had pretty good attendance.
I missed one meeting. That was because of the flood. Yeah, I couldn't get down here.
That might say something right there.
So, but I think we ought to wait till Kathy's back.
I agree.
Yeah.
That sounds
it's
like
not going to matter for one more month anyway.
So. I don't think it will, honestly.
Tom, you good with keeping going?
You have to go for one more month at least, Tom.
I can go for 10 years.
Can we nominate him again, or is he limited?
Yeah.
Term limited.
Well, and Kathy may have some ideas about who she wants to nominate as well.
Yeah.
To answer my question, is there limits on the term?
As far as the office goes, I don't think there's any limits.
I was under the impression there were limits.
There are on the budget committee, I understand.
Well, there's limits to how long you can be in the budget committee, and there's limits to how long you can be on the board. But I don't think there's any limits. Are you aware of any, Ann? I'm not aware of any limits for the officer positions.
To be on the board, yes, but not to be officer.
What are those limits?
Three elections. That's why I stepped down, because I'd replaced somebody in a vacancy and then got elected three times, and that was as much as I could do.
Why don't we plan on doing that then?
Let's put it up to the next meeting.
Kathleen better be here.
Okay.
She'll be here.
Okay. Well, that's the last item under new business. Item 9 is guest questions and comments. Ann, do you have anything you'd like to add?
I don't. I will only say that I join you in being very proud of Jeff. I'm very excited that he's taken this by the horns.
Absolutely. Yeah.
And last item, chair director comments. Any of the directors have any comments they'd like to state at this time?
No, I don't have any at this moment.
No? Okay, it is now 6:21 p.m. This meeting stands adjourned.